The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 15. Four words to our message. The eighth commandment out of 10. Verse 15 of Exodus 20. Thou shalt not steal. Many of the lives of individuals that have been touched by theft. Millions of dollars are lost every year in this country over the theft of goods and services. One estimate says that one out of every 52 shoppers, one out of every 52 shoppers carries something out of the supermarket or the department store that they have not paid. I was rather comically amused when I was at Walmart the other day and I saw a little security car going along. And on the side of the door, you have to realize I'm from New York. And on the side of the door it said, Walmart, Vice. Vice. Saw this little white wagon. And I just, it was just humorous to me, being from the Northeast. The Vice squad of Walmart was on the trail. But one out of 52, do you think that has something to do with the rising prices today? According to the United States Department of Commerce, 4 million people, 4 million people are caught shoplifting every year. When I was in the police department, many were the occasions that I was called to the mall. And gone into the office, you'll find a weeping child caught red-handed, security cameras, eyewitness testimonies already written out as incident reports, and we do the paperwork and then, of course, bring the parents in and all of the related incidents. You know, for everyone caught, statistics show 35 get away with it. This means that there are over 140 million incidents of shoplifting every year in America. You know what's really ironic? 10% of all shoplifters come from low incomes. 10%. 70% of shoplifting comes from middle class. 20% are classified as wealthy. Interesting to sometimes see how individuals are caught pilfering a lipstick who have over $200 in their purses, but just did it for the thrill of it, for the challenge, for something to talk about among peers. When's the last time you were at a hotel? Pastor John, I knew you'd do it. Now you've gone from preaching to meddling. I didn't mind all of these statistics. Now you start talking about towels. You knew I was going to have to go there. One new hotel reported that in their 10 months of operation, they lost 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 355 silver coffee pots, 1,500 silver finger bowls, and get this, 100 Bibles to thieves. I'll never forget when I was in seminary, somebody stole my Bible. Does it happen? Now, some might say, well, they needed to read it. That's true. Regardless of the reason, God's Word clearly says, and God's Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. They're not the Ten Commandments, they're not the Ten Suggestions, they are the Ten Commandments. God's word says, thou shalt not steal. We're going to be looking at three truths this morning regarding stealing. Law number one, truth number one, stealing is a violation of the law of God and a violation of the law of man. The definition of theft, according to Florida state statute, for those of you that like to have the statute itself, it's statute 812.014. My name is not Sergeant Friday. But theft is a felony. Theft is described and defined as taking of someone else's property with the intention of temporarily or permanently depriving that person of it. Somebody once said, not to put back is to steal. You know, by definition of Florida state statute, that is exactly right. The taking of someone else's property, it is not yours, with the intention of temporarily, I'll put it back eventually, gets real easy to forget about it, doesn't it? Either temporarily or permanently depriving that person of it. Now the scriptures talk about the correct means of getting gain, the correct means of increasing our possessions. God has authorized three primary methods by which people can legitimately increase their possessions. First of all, number one, as a reward for work. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in your copies of God's Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. You know, contrary to popular belief, work isn't a curse. God had given commandment to Adam to till the garden prior to the fall. Work is ordained by God. It's the means whereby individuals can obtain the resources they need to function in the world. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. God's will is that we obtain things in life that we need by the labor of our hands. But secondly, there's another means whereby God would have us increase in our resources, and that is return on investment. There's nothing wrong with seeking to increase through faithful stewardship that which one makes through accumulation of interest or dividends, and those means of being a good steward, legitimately invested in our means of increasing one's resources. Receiving a gift is a third means by which an individual within the principles of God's Word can increase their resources. Someone may give us a gift, we may receive a gift or an inheritance, we may be the beneficiary of one's will or insurance policy, and these are all legitimate ways of receiving resources, and God wants us to be good stewards. But it's the corrupt means of getting gain that we're looking at today. We're not looking at the legitimate means. Taking those things which are not our own is stealing. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 28, the Word of God presents to us the truth as believers who are not fashioning our lives after the world and the course of the world, let him that stole steal no more, Ephesians 4:28. But rather let him labor, working with his own hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I remember back in 1984 when I took my trip to the Central African Republic and spent 3 weeks with Ernest and Eugene Rosenau, who were with Baptist Mid-Missions, and they were serving the Lord in that country. And before them, Ferd Rosenau and his wife, they'd been there over 60 years, their entire family, serving the Lord. Breaking ground, serving the Lord in the mission field. They shared with me how often they would seek to employ many of the natives to come into their home, and they would be able to help them in many means, and they would help clean the house, peel potatoes, do various things. And so often things would come up missing. And they shared with me the modus operandi of some of the natives. What they would do is, as they would dust in the living room, they might see a trinket that they liked, or something that glittered, something that was attractive. And what they would do is that they would take that object from the table, let's say that it was, and they would put it in an insignificant location, such as the fireplace, the ledge, or wherever, and then leave it there for about 3 or 4 weeks behind a picture or another object where it would not be seen. Then they would wait to see if the Rosenaus would say anything about missing it. Then if they didn't, it would be taken and pocketed and stolen. And this was quite often done. Well, the Word of God says, let him that stole steal no more. Stealing is a violation of the law, but you know, stealing is also a violation of loyalty. Stealing is a violation of loyalty. Think of your relationship as an employee. I would wager to say that there are more employees here than there are employers. Some of you perhaps serve in a sense in a dual capacity in that area. But did you know that employee theft costs companies billions of dollars every year? Something in the neighborhood of $120 billion. According to USA Today, 48% of all American workers took something from an employer last year. And they do it by taking something home, selling things without their employer's knowledge, pocketing the money, taking kickbacks, falsifying time records, wasting time at work, etc. I came across an illustration not long ago. Many years, a young fellow was working in a small village in a general store. And he was just a little country boy. He had high water pants, a rope for a belt, but he was given a job in a textile plant. And his job was to cut the fabric and sell it by bolts. And there was one customer that came up. The boss happened to be gone on a business trip. And the client went to the young boy and he said, why don't you just give me an extra yard, son? Nobody will ever know the difference. Well, the youngster, he had been trained well, and he gave a good answer. He said, oh, you're mistaken. My master, yes, he may be gone, but my greater master is watching me. You see, I'm a Christian, and even though my boss might not be aware of what you are asking me to do, my Lord would be aware of it. And he had an opportunity to witness to that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a young man who was applying for a job at a bank. This is a true story. And he was having lunch with one of the vice presidents of the bank. that he would be working under. He had gone through an interview, and then after the interview, for some strange reason for which the candidate for employment was honored, he was taken out to lunch. And as they were going through the line, the candidate took two patties of butter and slipped it under the napkin. And as they were going through, the patties of butter cost 2 cents a piece. 2 pennies a piece. But the fella shoved it under the napkin, and as he was going through, it was undiscovered, and he went through, and he didn't pay for the butter. And then the vice president, who had been watching him all along, made this statement: "Sir, your credentials are impeccable. Your job performance that I see in the past would qualify you indeed for the responsibility. But you know what? I noticed what you did in line with that butter. And we cannot possibly have a man who is willing to do what you just did and have a place on our firm." Isn't that interesting? How important it is that we be men and women of honesty. Anytime we take things that are not ours from an employer, we are guilty of stealing. It's amazing. As a pastor of a church, how in times past we would have work bees, and we would have tools that were purchased by the church, and after work bees, folks, I tell you, they would be gone. They would disappear. I often told myself, maybe I ought to give an invitation for tools to be brought to the altar. Amazing. Rakes and shovels and things that are just indiscreetly and just promiscuously taken. Take a look at the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, we're going to give an invitation at the end of the service, and some of you may have to run home and return tools to your neighbors. Unfortunately, your neighbor is not here to hear the message. Maybe he'd turn, give you your tools. Obtain a cassette. And Brother Dell will see to it that plenty of copies are made if you need. Titus chapter 2, interesting verses. Don't let yourself miss out on the true meaning of these verses by sloughing them off into, well, we don't have slavery, we don't have servants today. Actually, the principles here transcend that and go into the employer-employee relationship. Exhort servants, and you could easily put employees here. Exhort employees to be obedient unto their own masters, those that you work for, to please them well in all things, not answering again. And then notice, verse 10, not purloining. You know what the word purloining means? Pilfering. Not stealing from your employer. Now, there are ways that individuals can always justify it. He's a scoundrel. Well, he got a bonus for $6 million. The whole system's corrupt. Nobody's going to notice a few brass nails. Or else, well, I had a friend that got fired and he was unjustly treated. He's got it coming to him. All kinds of ways that we can explain. Well, I just need a few, and I'll bring back what's left, or I'll replace it, or it doesn't really matter. It doesn't cost that much. Well, let's look at what the Scriptures say here. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. You've heard of Fidelity Insurance Company. You know, fidelity, faithfulness, always there. Integrity. These are terms that are missing today. that they may adorn the doctrine of God. You know, what are we purveying and displaying to individuals regarding the doctrine of the Word of God when we are caught in dishonesty? We are to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, the Word of God says. Then, let's look at the other side. As an employer, look at the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 4, and verse 1. The Word of God says, "Masters, give unto your servants." Here, their instruction now is employers to employees. "Give unto your servants that which is just," literally righteous, "and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." When employees are underpaid, or overworked, or treated badly, this too is a form of stealing. And God has principles that are given to us in this passage of Scripture. But then I want you to look at the many faces of theft in a wider scale very quickly with me. In our ethics, on a day-to-day basis, we're guilty of stealing, for instance, in areas like income tax. Are we rightfully, properly administering the keeping of our books, the keeping of our word, honoring our debts? Are we borrowing things and not returning them? When we're obligated to do something, do we do it? When we don't, we have stolen. When we owe a debt or taxes, then we must also pay those taxes, or else we're guilty of stealing before God. Remember Psalm chapter 37 and verse 21? "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again." I'll never forget the time I candidated in a church. This was years back in my late 20s. And I went to the church to candidate and met with the church board. And I asked the question, is there any reason why God would not be able to bless this church? Eyes were fixed on me when I made that question. And all of a sudden, I heard a sob. I couldn't believe how the Spirit of God was working. This was after the evening service and after a message. But when I made that statement, there was a sob, and immediately one of the men started confessing sin. And another man started confessing sin. And it was in the area of dishonesty, one man towards his wife and another one towards his employer. And I couldn't believe how the Holy Spirit was breaking loose in that meeting in a way that I certainly never anticipated. I mean, I didn't have any part except just simply asking, is there any reason why God shouldn't be able to bless this church? And as it was, there was one man who had owed another one in the church a vast sum of money and had not paid it back. And it was not anything of benevolence or anything like that. It was a business deal. And there was just ill feeling and in that case. And it's amazing how the Lord worked. Hey, I'll tell you what. I never even wound up taking the church. But God called me all the way to Pennsylvania, evidently just to break loose, because I was told that a revival took place in that church. And they wound up calling a better man to pastor the church, and they've been doing very well since. So I was just kind of like an evangelist, self-styled certainly in his own way. Lord, great, use me that way. But I just didn't feel led to take the church, and now I know why. I wasn't the right man, but I was the preliminary guy to take care of some matters. How about this one? Plagiarism. You're told to write a report at school, and you steal other people's thoughts and words, and you don't give proper credit in your paper the way the teachers teach you when you're writing a report. Some people think, well, the way I write a report, I just take the Britannica, open it up, and I just start copying. And you submit that as your work. The Bible says you are stealing. That's serious plagiarism. And there are cases of individuals that have been implicated criminally through plagiarism. You know, we were talking about tools and work bees. Charles Finney, I don't follow his theology and his Arminianism, but he was an Arminian evangelist, and he sure kept the pulpit hot his way. But Charles Finney was preaching a message, and I don't know how this one would be for the bulletin, Brother Charles, but you know what the title of his message was? We might not be able to fit it all in. His title was "The Sin of Borrowing Things and Not Returning Them." That was his message Sunday morning. And how would you like to announce that one the Sunday before? You wonder if anybody would show up. So he put that, and then he opened up his message this way, and I'm going to quote it. He got up there to the pulpit, and he said, "When I went to my tool shed yesterday with some men on hand to do some work, I found it practically empty. President Mahan had borrowed my plow and never sent it back. Professor Morgan had sent for my spade, and I haven't seen it since. Deacon Beecher has had one of my monkey wrenches for so long a time that the memory of man cannot recall how long it was borrowed. What does it mean? It means that there are some among the best of us that are careless in our fundamental everyday obligations." Well, the message was effective. You know what happened the next morning? The next morning before dawn, one neighbor, trying to bring back a workhorse, had to be rescued from Finney's dog that was attacking him. He tried to return it under the cover of night. All the rest of the morning, there was a steady stream of neighbors' kids bringing back borrowed tools. And by the way, some of the things that Finney got didn't even belong to him. Stealing is a violation of the law of God and of men. Stealing is a violation of loyalties. Finally, stealing is a violation of heavenly love. Let me give you some areas where we can look at the many faces of theft. In the book of Malachi, the children of Israel were guilty of robbing God. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 8. And oh, we would be so easy and prone to dispensationalize away this particular crime, but yet it happens all around us in a decadent, materialistic world, doesn't it? Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Verse 8 of Malachi. Yet have you robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? The Lord says here, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, you know, it's interesting, in the same context of trusting the Lord with all of thine heart, the Word of God says in verse 9, honor the Lord, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst with new wine. even the early church, even at Corinth, as Paul exhorted them in their giving, were benevolent in their giving. The stealing of the tithe. How about the stealing of our time? You know, in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, the Word of God says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Oh, there's a need for leisure, and we need to take it. But you know, when we cannot be even faithful in the house of the Lord with the days that God has given to us, when our church attendance is sporadic, when we don't have time to study the Word, when we don't have time for prayer, and we allow the tyranny of urgent things to crowd in, when we realize that Jesus Christ shed His blood. Did you know that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, the language of redemption is used about how we handle our time? Redeeming, agorazo, to buy out of the slave market of sin. When we get saved, we have an obligation to our Lord to be stewards of the life that He has given us, to see to it that we invest it for His kingdom priorities. And when we invest our time in a way and in a manner and in an emphasis that is worldly and not for God's kingdom, there can be literally the pilfering of our time. Do we see it as the stealing of time? How we need to be cautious. The stealing of our talents. God has given us spiritual gifts. When we received Christ as Savior, spiritual gifts are God-given enablements to function in the body of Christ. But if I am dormant and not seeking to actively get involved in the edification and in the ministry of a church, then could it be that I then am stealing and making the wrong usage? I am depriving my Savior for the investment that He has placed in my life. You see, these are areas that we can read Exodus 20 and verse 15 and gloss over it and say, well, I haven't stolen from Walmart, I'm fine. Well, these are some areas perhaps that our message has touched on where we can then begin to think, Lord, I see that the eighth commandment in the Decalogue has many, many far-reaching implications that I'm not really fully in compliance with. May the Lord challenge us. You know, I think that there's a debt that we have that we can never repay, and that is receiving Christ as personal Savior. How sad that Jesus Christ should shed His blood for the sins of the world, and then individuals should waste and squander the grace. Have you received and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? May the Lord challenge us to have His heavenly priority as stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. I'm speaking while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed to young people, to teenagers, young men, young women, young couples. The Spirit of God is speaking to you about some areas. You know, the Scriptures teach about remuneration. Zacchaeus, when he had pilfered from so many people as a tax collector in Luke 19, in conformity with the law of Moses, he said, I will restore. You know, one of my complaints with the criminal justice system is when people steal, what do? They put them in jail. But there's no restitution. You know, the Bible teaches restitution for stealing. Rather than placing people in a place where they can't restore, there needs to be supervised restitution. I see that as a much more biblical response, and one which can restore dignity and character. But if there are some things that you have been dishonest with as a young person, maybe even with a teacher, cheating on a test, stealing answers from your friend next to you, God has seen that. I'm just wondering if you're serious enough about pleasing the Lord, that you'll not confess that, and yes, even go back to that teacher and confess it and make it right. Those of us as adults need to be equally as serious. See, that's where we can adorn the doctrine of God. Heavenly Father, you see where others cannot. You look into our hearts. Help us to be faithful, to be obedient in this very, very practical message. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.